Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Economists may have been doing some all-nighters recently to change the way economic activity is calculated. The gross domestic product, or GDP, is the global yardstick for measuring economic growth country to country, state to state. But simply adding up the value of all goods and services misses a few things. The recalculation may amount to moving the goalposts for some nations in the industrialized world who may suddenly get a boost for some less than cash on the barrelhead assets like intellectual property, licensing fees, royalties, investments in research and development. With us to explain all this is Robert Armstrong, editor of the U.S. Lex column at the Financial Times. Welcome, Robert.
Hi.
So who benefits from this recalculation? Does the U.S. get a big boost because some things that weren't measured will be now?
The U.S. economy will get bigger. But I want to use that phrase carefully, right? Because it gets accounting bigger, not real world bigger. And when you know, just as for a company or a person, you change the way you record your wealth, it doesn't make you richer or poorer. It's just an exercise in trying to measure your wealth more accurately.
So what are we swallowing here? A Luxembourg, an Australia?
Belgium.
Really?
So we get Belgium, roughly Belgium bigger, as my colleague at the FT put it. And this kind of shift happens all the time in businesses, right? There's two ways a business can spend money. You can have an expense or you can have an investment. And you're still spending money in both cases, but I invest in paying for a truck. It's a long-lived asset. It generates money. I'm richer because I own a truck. Or I can just expense, and it's just a cost of doing business. I pay for your lunch or for my salary, and that's just money out the door. And so that's the difference. We're going from an expense model of certain kind of expenditures to an investment model.
Does this underrepresent nations like China and Brazil and India that are big, big in manufacturing and in traditional businesses?
Yes. So let's think about an iPhone, right? You have a bunch of casually dressed geeks in California thinking up software. And then you have people in China putting the thing together, and you have people in Japan and Germany doing the high-tech chips and so forth. And so the value add of that thing is spread all over the world, but the R&D investment is likely to be mostly here in the United States. And the manufacturing, the hard, you know, the sort of hard nuts and bolts part of it is going to be elsewhere.
So until this new calculation, is it the case that most of the GDP impact of something like an iPhone was really in Asia, not really in the United States, and all of a sudden that's going to be a chunk of GDP that comes back across the ocean?
Well, it's hard to say, but there's no question that recorded wealth is going to be shifting towards Silicon Valley and away from some other places.
Who clamors for this sort of thing? How routine is a review of how these statistics are calculated?
Well, they do a big review every 5 years at the federal level. And if you think about this in the broadest possible way, a change like this makes a lot of sense. More of the value being added to our economy is in intellectual property now than it once was. Software is more important. Hardware is becoming commoditized, right? So it only makes sense that the way we measure our economy should change as our economy changes. However, this is also a great opportunity for the raving conspiracy theorists of the world to say that the government is trying to inflate the size of economy to make things look better, even though in reality they're awful.
Is there virtue in keeping things very conservative, really only focusing on tangible benefits? Because when downturns happen, when you're looking in the ether sometimes, and we saw this in the financial meltdown, that when things don't exist, they really don't exist.
Yes. And, a piece of software can lose value quite quickly when it's superseded. So the accounting has to be good, right? When something loses value, you have to write it down or depreciate it. And so there are new challenges to the accounting here. The accounting here is going to be trickier, require more judgment. There probably will be more room for mistakes. But the alternative is covering your ears and humming and pretending we still live in the economy of 60 years ago.
Final question, and maybe it's a little personal. I don't want to cause any emotion here, but are we getting to the point where you mentioned intellectual property, that there may actually be a value attached to journalists and all of the thoughtful things they come up with at the FT and elsewhere?
I certainly hope so.
That's a hard one.
But that's the right kind of question to be asked. What does the FT own after our paper or our website runs one day and then all that stuff slips into the past?
Or this radio show, for that
matter. Right, this radio show. And so, but remember, however you account for that stuff, the real world challenge remains the same, which is WNYC is sitting there, or the Financial Times is sitting there thinking, we do all this intellectual work. How do we turn that into cash? Right. And however we account for it.
Of course, governments do that all the time.
Right.
Their intellectual work becomes taxes. Yeah. They turn it into cash all the time.
But, you know, you change the measurement, the ground level challenge of businesses and enterprises and countries remain the same, which is you do all this work. You think really hard. How are you going to get paid?
Robert Armstrong is the editor of the U.S. Lex column at the Financial Times, talking about moving the goalposts, recalculating the gross domestic product. Robert, thanks.
Thank you.